The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live, in case you just joined me. If you did, welcome. My telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. One little political thing, and then we're gonna move on, all right? Just one tiny little thing, and we will move on. Let me make a prediction, okay? Let me make a prediction. You are going to begin hearing over and over and over again, conspiracy. Conspiracy. Concerning what? President Trump has called Obamagate. Yeah, the whole thing about the unmasking of Michael Flynn, the Russian collusion thing, which we now know was a complete hoax. And no, that's not just we know that there was nothing to it. We know that the whole Mueller investigation was based on false information that the FBI knew was false information when they began the investigation. But they didn't care. This whole Russian dossier thing, we now know, was paid for by the DNC, the Democratic National Committee. I don't know why that didn't get more coverage. That whole Russian collusion thing was bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton's campaign and the Democratic National Committee. We know that. That is an established fact. 2 years, millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of witnesses, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours, yeah, no collusion. And now we're finding out that the whole Michael Flynn thing, which was the president's first national security advisor, were trumped up charges, no pun intended, trumped up. We know that. We know that he was entrapped. We now have unsealed emails and communications and handwritten notes from the FBI. What do you want to do? Do you want to try to get him to lie? Wait, what do you think? Should we just try to get him to lie and trap him? Yeah, okay. And now we know that the whole unmasking thing, and I don't have time to go into what that is and so forth, but it can be very, very illegal. It can be legal. It can be illegal. Went all the way to the White House under Barack Obama. All right. Now, these are facts that we know of. We know that Joe Biden was involved. We know that Obama's chief of staff was involved. We know that Comey was involved. We know that Clapper was involved. So these are all established facts. But the news media is going to portray it as conspiracy. Conspiracy, you're going to hear that word over and over and over again. It's a right-wing conspiracy. It's a Trump conspiracy. You're going to hear that over and over again. Those of you that are old enough to remember, when the whole Bill Clinton thing really blew up, the Monica Lewinsky thing, remember that? When it really began to blow up, I mean, it blew up. Do you remember what Hillary Clinton said? And to remember what the Democratic left said? A vast right-wing conspiracy. You remember that? Do you remember that? Hillary Clinton says nothing to it. There's nothing to it. Now, she knew. She knew, but she said, oh, it's just a conspiracy, a vast right-wing conspiracy. Deja vu all over again. So just get ready. That's what you're going to hear. The more information that comes out, the more evidence that comes out, It's just a conspiracy. Don't pay any attention to it. It's just, yeah. All right, here, and I'm going to leave it at that. All right, I'll leave it at that. Here is a interesting, tragic update. The Supreme Court is considering several very, very important cases dealing with religious liberty. One of the most important is the case R.G. and G.R. Harris Funeral Home versus Amy Stevens. Many of you will remember this story. A funeral home up in Michigan, owned by Christians, they had employed a man by the name of Anthony Stevens for several years. He was a greeter, did different things around the funeral home. Anthony Stevens. Well, one day he decided he was pretty. He decided, nah, I don't think I'm a man. I'm really a woman. Now, he was in his 50s at the time. And so he begins the transition. He says he was transgender and so on and so forth. Well, the funeral home has a strict dress code. So this man, while he is transitioning, he is fully biologically and anatomically a man. The transition is just beginning. He shows up at work at the funeral home in a dress. A man in a dress. Now, can you imagine? You are a grieving family. You're going through one of the worst periods of your life. You enter the door of the funeral home, and greeting you is a man dressed in a dress. You think that would help you out? You think that might distract you? So the funeral home said, no, we can't do that. And so they told him, you're a man, you need to dress like a man, we have a dress code. He says, no, I feel like a woman, I feel pretty, I'm going to dress in a dress, I'm going to dress as a female. And so the funeral home said, sorry, you're fired. So he sues, and the case has made it all the way to the Supreme Court. The oral arguments were heard back in October, and a decision is expected any time between now and June. It's going to be an extremely precedent-setting case. It is hard to exaggerate the importance of this case for religious freedom and liberty, for employers, churches, schools, Christian schools, and so forth. Now, why do I bring this up? The man at the center of the case has died. Anthony Stevens, who changed his name to Amy Stevens, and that's why the case is R.G. Funeral Home, R.G. Harris Funeral Home versus Amy Stevens. He has died. Just a couple of days ago, the cause of death was kidney failure, kidney problems. Don't know anything past that. We don't know. But now, will that impact the case? No, not. No, the oral arguments have already been heard. All of the legal documents have already been presented on both sides, so it will not have any impact on the case itself. But however the case is decided, it obviously will have no impact on Anthony Stevens. The American Civil Liberties Union represented Stevens in the case. They lamented his death. The ACLU referred to him as a hero and a trailblazer. Well, I mourn his death. I mourn the death of anyone. I find no pleasure in announcing his death by any means. But he was not a hero, and he was not a trailblazer. So anyway, that is the update. The decision in that case could be handed down any time, but it is expected sometime between now and June. Anthony Stevens, 59 years old, has died of kidney disease. All right, We're going to take another break. Quick break. Hang with me. We'll be right back.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Hey, want to talk a little football? Well, we could talk Buckeye football. We could talk about the odds, the chances of football being played in the Shoe this fall. I think the chances are very good. I realize many, many people are saying, oh, no, no, we're not going to have football this fall. I think we will. Who knows? What do I know? So we could talk Ohio State, but let's talk Clemson just for a moment. Clemson! Don't you understand? You're in Columbus, Ohio. How can you? Well, I want to talk about the coach, Dabo Sweeney. He is one of the most loved coaches in America. He is one of the most hated coaches in America. He is hated for two reasons. He's a winner, and winners are always hated. It's always suspected. If a guy is a winner, he's a cheater. That's public opinion. If he wins, well, he's got to be cheating. The second reason why he is hated, he is a devout follower of Jesus Christ and doesn't care who knows. And because of that, he is hated because he is a Christian. He's got quite a resume. He has led the Clemson Tigers to two national titles. His overall record is 131-30. Including 6-3 in the college football playoffs since 2015. His teams have gone to the playoff for five straight seasons. That fascinating? But he wants you to know the most important thing about his life is not football, but his relationship to Jesus Christ. He was featured on a recent Huddle Up, which is a program broadcast by the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Huddle Up. And it was streamed on YouTube. The program also featured former NFL coach Tony Dungy. I love some of the things that Dabo Sweeney said. Quote, "I've come under fire many times from different organizations and things like that just because of my faith." Sweeney was targeted by the Freedom From Religion Foundation in 2014 for encouraging students to pray and worship both on and off the field. Now, here's something interesting. I remember that. The Freedom From Religion Foundation came after Sweeney full force. I mean, they came after him. They threw everything they could. He didn't back down, didn't apologize, stood his ground, and fortunately, Clemson stood behind him. And guess what? The Freedom From Religion Foundation did what bullies always do. If you stand up to them, they go away and find somebody else weak. Quote, "The Freedom From Religion Foundation attacked the coach for being open about his faith, claimed he created, quote, a culture of religious coercion within the university's football program." The attorney for the Freedom From Religion Foundation said, quote, "Christian worship seems interwoven into Clemson's football program." FFRF wants the school to direct Sweeney and team chaplain James Trapp to immediately stop team prayers, sermons, Bible studies, and church days for players and train staff about their First Amendment obligations and monitor compliance. Dabo Swinney said, no, I'm a Christian. That's what I am. That's what I do. I'm not coercing anybody. If you can give me any proof that I'm making anybody do anything, okay. But otherwise, take a long walk on a short pier. And they did. Sweeney in the interview said, quote, they want me to just shut that off and not be a Christian. But God says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do it with all your heart as if you're working for the Lord. If I get a young man that comes to Clemson and he's strong in his faith and he leaves Clemson and I didn't help him grow stronger, shame on me. If I could get a young man that comes to Clemson and he doesn't know anything or he's searching and I don't cultivate that, shame on me. There's no one that comes to Clemson and gets here and goes, wow, I didn't know that Coach Sweeney was a Christian. Everybody knows that. I hope people see the light of Jesus through me as I do my job. Then he went on to say, my job is not to save players. My job is to win football games. So many people today, they're afraid of criticism. They're afraid of not being politically correct or whatever it may be. There's a lot of hostility towards Christianity today. I always tell people, the hope of the world, it's not in politics. It's not in a new president. It's not in a stimulus package. It's not in anything. The hope of the world is Jesus. I'm going on my 18th year at Clemson, my 12th as head coach, and the greatest accomplishment we have here is not any trophy. I tell coaches, you can win, 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 but if you're not serving the hearts and souls of players as you win, then you lose. Quotes from Dabo Swinney. I like him a lot. And because of his strong faith in Christ, you're going to read all kinds of accusations. Many people are going to try to bring him down, destroy him, spread rumors. He's some kind of crazy religious fanatic. I don't know. Never met him in person. But I know that he has developed one of the finest college football programs in America. And he's done it while openly living for Jesus Christ without any embarrassment. And he has refused to be intimidated by the Freedom From Religion Foundation and other organizations like them. And by doing that, I think he has taught his players, stand up to the bullies in your life. And if you do, they'll leave. Dabo Swinney, I think he's a good man. And I just pray he continues with his faith in Christ. And I pray that he doesn't do anything to harm his testimony. All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll return.